Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 617. I am your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox Penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged kitty cat, is hiding out somewhere. Somewhere nearby. It's a little late for me to do a show. I got a late start to the day. It's like after 5 p.m. It's I normally do it early in the day these days. Next week it's going to be late too, because I'm going to be doing overtime. I'm going to be doing Saturdays for the next couple weeks. And so that'll be another late one. But I would have done it this morning. When I had to, you know, get up early in the morning and try to have a little bit of energy and whatnot. But as it turned out, last night I was out late. I went over to Jackman's. Went over there for game night, and I ate way too much food. I made hamburger casserole, which I hadn't had in quite a while, and I ate way too much fucking food. I had that. I had goulash. I had all kinds of shit. I kept eating, as our friend Christy had also come over. She always makes food when she comes by. Tony made the goulash. And I only had like one alcoholic drink. It was one that Christy had made with there was a grapefruit vodka by Kettle One, which I'm not a grapefruit fan, but this was pretty good. It had that. She had lemons in it, and it was tasty. It was tasty stuff. And man, I knew I ate too much food, but I kept eating. I ate a massive chunk of that hamburger casserole and quite a bit of goulash, too. That goulash was fucking good. And Christy had made these, I don't know what you want to call them. It was like a croissant with pepperoni and cheese in it that were pretty damn tasty. I had a couple of those. I don't know. I ate a lot of fucking food. And I knew I was going to pay the price today, and sure as shit, man, I've felt like shit all goddamn day. It was rough. I was going to run today. I skipped it because I just feel like I still don't feel real great, but I feel a lot better than I did earlier. I got been drinking some Gatorade, and I didn't eat a whole hell of a lot. I ate a little bit of the hamburger casserole not too long before doing recording here. I guess it was probably about an hour ago or so now, but I had a smoothie from Smoothie King. Hopefully I could just, like, get some nutrients back in my body after just fucking I guess I probably had nutrients in there, but I don't know. I had to shit a lot today. So much food. I'm, like, 10 pounds heavier than I was previously. And, yeah, it's Jackman's son's Jules' birthday on Wednesday. So I wanted to make sure I went out there and at least saw him yesterday. And yeah, we played Mario Kart, and we only played one board game. It was I don't know the name of it, but it was a betting game. We weren't betting with real money, but it was a racetrack that had like Indy cars, and you got these cards to move. You could, well, first, everybody gets a chance to bid and buy one of the cars, and that brings down the money that you have to, in the end, the way the scoring works is it factors in how much you bid on the car, and it's figured by millions. So, thankfully, it's not real money, because I don't have millions of dollars. I think the board game might be Raceway. That might be it. Maybe I'm wrong on that. As I can't type that great today. Let's see if that is... I don't think... Damn it. It doesn't look like that was the name of the board game, because I am not seeing that being the right board game. Anyway, it was a cool board game. I mean, you got to bid on the cars to buy one of them. You could have multiple cars, but every person that plays has to have at least one car. And so if your car wins, the one that you actually purchased, you get... That's the way to get the most money. You want your car across the finish line. And then you can bet. There's betting lines. Once the cars reach past a certain point, you get to bet on which car that you think will win. It doesn't have to be your car. It could be your car. And then you also get funds that way. And in the end, they take your winning totals from all your bets and whether or not your car placed, and then you subtract the auction price on your vehicle that you bought. So, it was good stuff. Anyway, just wish I wouldn't have fucking ate so much goddamn food. The big news is, should be no shock if you listen to this podcast recently, I've been talking about how I was close to paying off the Adam Jones Gibson that I had bought. And, well, I paid that off. And I managed to make it all of, like, a day or two. before getting another Gibson. They're multiplying. I can't help it. They're fucking multiplying. It's a thing. It's a bit of an issue. I guess this is my, midlife crisis, if you will. But can you have a midlife crisis when you never have, like, children? I feel like I've always made purchases and irrational decisions like this my entire life. So I don't know if it's a midlife crisis, but I do feel like I'm trying to, like, reach back out to my younger self, which sounds like a midlife crisis. So I guess supposedly that is what's going on here. Supposedly, I guess that's what's going on. I don't know. Regardless of any of that, so yeah, I got the first Gibson paid off, and I was like, man, I gotta at least wait a couple months before I pull the trigger on another one. But then work kind of got changed my decisions on this, because we are scheduled for quite a bit of overtime. And knowing that I don't have to pay on that other Gibson now, I was like, you know what? We are scheduled for the next two Saturdays to work and doing, like, 9-hour shifts. It's looking like we're going to do 10-hour shifts come July, probably some more Saturdays. So I was like, you know what? I could probably pay for this thing within a couple of months. Have it completely paid for. I was just like, ugh. But, you know, I should probably, you know, be a little bit more responsible with that and actually pay off other debt. But, hey, you know, this is a cheaper guitar than my last one. And I figure I should be able to... pay it off fairly easy. I won't have any interest as long as I pay $100 a month for 2 years. That's not terrible. And then, like, zero interest, so. But that being said, yes, I did buy. Oh, I had to do it. I had freed up my musician's friend credit card via the, paying off that other Gibson. And I thought about it would just be easy just to get it through there. But the deal is, when you get one of those cards, usually it's a lot easier to get deals on the no interest stuff. Which I didn't want to pay. I didn't want to put this on a fucking credit card and pay hundreds of dollars of interest, you know, close to maybe a grand in interest. I was like, that seems irresponsible. So, and I didn't have the option through musician's friend to use that card to buy the guitar that I wanted and have a, you know, like a, at least a year or two without interest. There was a 6-month option, which I possibly could have done, but the payments would have had to been like 400 something a month. And I was like, man, I could probably do that with like the overtime that's coming through right now. But like, I just wanted to something a little bit safer so I didn't have to pay that much every month, because I do have other bills and stuff I should be spending money on. So I was like, you know what? And so I went over to Sweetwater, which I've bought the guitar I bought last. I bought through Sweetwater, but I didn't have a Sweetwater credit card, so I opened a credit card through them. But it's the same company that does the musician's friend credit card. It's kind of funny that they do that, and then I'd have to open up a separate one. But it's a different company that I've got a credit card through. So I did it through them, and they had the payments where I could do the $100 a month for 2 years. As long as I kept that up, I would not pay any interest. And I'd have another Gibson. And, of course, I got the Tony Iommi SG Special. And 20-year-old Josh was super excited. Couldn't believe his mind. As I want to say it was around when I was like 20, probably like 18 to 20. I mean, I'd been playing guitar for a few years at that point. And originally I'd been into like the Beatles, and I mean, I was into a lot of stuff even like early on playing guitar. Like the first thing I half-assed thing I learned was the Beatles Blackbird on acoustic guitar. My dad kind of taught it to me. I learned that he wasn't really good at teaching guitar and stuff. And I mainly just learned from like tab books and everything. And I got big into like Hendrix. I was never real great at playing Hendrix. Had fucking YouTube been around back then, man, I would have needed shit. I would have just gone on YouTube and fucking learned all kinds of shit, man. So mind-blowing. I learned so much stuff now on YouTube on guitar. I was like, if this would have been around when I had all the energy in the world and I was playing guitar for like hours a day, this would have been fantastic. I would have been a virtuoso. Maybe not, but I feel like I would have learned a lot more early on. Anyway, I don't remember exactly what year I really started getting into Black Sabbath, but I believe it was my brother Shelley, as he's known on the show. Shelley Long, is the one that really, I think, got me into Black Sabbath. And I had gotten the CD that was like sort of like the best of, like the Ozzy Sabbath. It was like We Sold Our Souls for Rock and Roll, I believe is the name of that one. And it had just all the best like Ozzy shit on there. And I had gotten a tab book for it, which, going back and looking at that tab book now, it's not real accurate. It is not real accurate. It is not. Those tab books, man. And I thought they were like holy grails. I was like, this is, if I can't make this sound right, I'm playing it wrong. Not that the tab book's wrong. The tab book's wrong. The tab book is very wrong. I would get so frustrated. Like, she's like, why doesn't that sound right? When, you know, I should have just tried to listen to the song and, you know, hear the fucking notes and, like, you know, play it by ear, but no, I was convinced that this tab book I spent $20 on was accurate. Anyway, I remember probably from the age of like late teens into my like early 20s, like I loved me some Black Sabbath. I was a big into, I never got into like Sabbath outside of Ozzy, like, which I feel like at some point I'll probably check into a little bit, you know, get some Dio going on and whatnot. But, I mean, I love that early, like 4 to 5 albums they put out with Ozzy. That shit is absolutely fantastic. And, I remember learning something like War Pigs and stuff around that time period. And, you know, I always thought back then, I was like, I wanted a Gibson. I thought, like, I'll never be able to afford a Gibson. Which, you know, I kind of can, kind of can't now. But I managed to have two of them. But, I thought, like, an SG. I wanted it at Les Paul, and the Les Pauls were amazing, but, you know, the SGs were very more affordable. At the time, at least, they were, like, the most affordable Gibson, which is still kind of the thing now, but they have a lot of different options. I don't want to, they're cheaper, not cheap options, but you can get, like, the Gibson Studios. Those, I think, are cheap when it comes to Les Pauls. They don't have the binding. And you can get a Les Paul and just and not pay quite as much. Like, binding is definitely one thing that is very time-consuming and takes skilled labor. So that does jack up the prices a bit. Anyway, so, yeah, man, I was a big fan of the Tony Iommi. And his guitar tone and sound and it's just so ingrained into my brain that hearing those that growl of those P90s going through that Laney amp, it's just magic. And I always played that shit on the Stratocaster that I had. Which I still have. From the time I was like late 20s, or late teens, early 20s, whatever. I don't remember when exactly I got that Strat, the Mexican Strat, the first Mexican Strat I got, not the Squire. The Squire Strat I had originally, my first electric guitar, that's long gone. I do not recall what happened to that guitar. I'm pretty sure I just fucking gave it to somebody, but I don't remember. Don't remember what happened. I might have gotten some money out of it, but I only paid like $100 for it initially. I feel like I gave it to a friend. Never sounded quite right on a Stratocaster, although I had that Marshall half stack that I used to play fucking Sabbath through, and you know, you get fairly close to a sound. Just cranking a fucking Marshall. I mean, it is the British amplifier. He didn't use Marshalls. Iommi, that is. He used Laney's. But it's, you know, the same region where it was developed. And it's amazing I didn't eventually get an SG. But at that time, still like Hendrix was like my guitar god. At that point, I mean, Iommi was like number two at that point. But I had it in my head that Strats were the most amazing thing ever. But I never really tried the other things. Again, I wanted Gibson, though. I didn't want like a knockoff Epiphone, which I did around that same time. I ended up getting a Epiphone Les Paul that I just liked. It was the semi-hollow body with the F-shaped holes and everything, which I still have. But it had shitty wiring. The Epiphones at that time were just not great. Like, I feel like at that point in time, if I really wanted to, though, if that was my main focus, I could have saved up to get a fucking Gibson SG, damn it. Either way, I've got one now. And it is weird, you know, like, making that connection from a younger myself, which I am like a totally different person now in most regards. But holy shit, that early Sabbath stuff. And oh man, it only took like a day to get that guitar once I ordered. So I ordered it on Wednesday. received it on Thursday. I paid the extra money for the expedited shipping. And I was pretty excited. I had to work overtime that day. I thought I was going to get it Friday. Initially, they had said that it was going to be Friday. And then as soon as they gave me the tracking information, it was bam, it's going to be Thursday. I was like, holy shiznit. maybe it was Tuesday that I ordered. I feel like maybe. Yeah, I guess it was Tuesday. Tuesday I ordered it. I was going to say one day turnaround, which is wrong because I did just put in for the warranty. Anyway, Tuesday I ordered it and ended up getting it on Thursday. And I was very specific on the delivery instructions. The first Gibson I got, I had delivered here, and they delivered it to the wrong unit. They delivered to my neighbor's house because people get a little confused. I mean, all the townhouses down here look pretty much the same. There's, these units are 20 years old now, and they do have numbers on the mailbox, which are very visible. I could see how you might be a little confused as to which mailbox that it's for, or which townhouse. Maybe. But there is, of course, a number above the garage. That one's pretty faded on all of them. It's a little bit harder to read, but the number is there. And since I had that Gibson delivered to the wrong one, I'm always paranoid that if I order something expensive, it's going to go to the wrong place. And possibly, you know, or it'll just possibly get stolen. But the only people that's, I'm pretty sure, go down the street are, it's a very small street. I'm pretty sure just people that live on the street. I feel like I don't really know my neighbors, but I don't think they're going to steal my shit. I have had somebody hit my garage with eggs, so it's not out of the realm of possibility that somebody could steal my shit. But, you know, there is kind of a... You'd have to walk up to my door, which, like, and there's... kind of go out of your way to go steal my package if it's over there. And no one knows when I'm home that I'm aware of. I always park my car in the garage. So, I mean, you might be risking, like, oh, fuck, he might be in there and might open that door any minute. Anyway, I knew that they would probably deliver this thing while I was at work. And so I was like, you know what? I don't want to wait to get it. I'm going to put a little... I'm going to hope that no one steals it. And I didn't think they would deliver it quite as early as they did, though. They ended up delivering it really early. But I was like, I think, like, as initially I thought it would be delivered on Friday. And I got up on Fridays, we only work 8 hours. So I'm like, I get off at 2:30. Like, I don't think that it should be delivered too late or too early. And that it shouldn't sit there real long. Plus, you know, it's really hot. Probably don't want a guitar sitting out the hot sun for very long. At least by my door, I mean, it's covered in that area. So it gets a little bit light, less heat, I guess. but, yeah, I ordered it, and they shipped it on Wednesday. And then I received it on Tuesday. Thursday. Fucking shit. My brain's still fucked up from eating all that food. But I got the alert on my phone that it had been delivered. It was like fucking 9 a.m. when it was delivered. I was like, son of a bitch. Like, I thought about it. I mean, I had sick time at work. I was like, I could just fucking leave. I could just leave. And go grab that guitar, but I held out. I even, you know, I can leave at lunchtime, but you're supposed to go clock out and everything. And had I left It doesn't take me real long to get home and then get back to work. I could have easily have driven here and like put the guitar inside. But I was like, I just couldn't do it because I wanted to have my lunch and it was a rough day. I needed to conserve. I just wanted to eat my lunch and be able to get the day done. But I did make it through all of work, and the guitar was there when I got home. So I was fucking nervous. I was nervous about it. I thought about maybe trying to get a hold of a friend and have them come pick it up. Well, Megan has like keys to my spare key, so she could. She was probably busy. I figured she was probably busy either working or doing something with cats. So like the likelihood of her being able to drive over here and do that for me was like seemed kind of slim, but you never know. Like her or John could have possibly done that. I think John might be out of his boot now, so he could have just put that sucker inside for me. But anyway, yeah, he had a surgery on his I'm blanking. He had a surgery. We'll just say his leg. We'll just on a broad. He's been in a boot now for quite some time. Anyway, so yeah, I made it home, and it was there. The guitar was there. I was excited. I was excited. I was like, oh yes, this is fantastic. But I was a little concerned that, you know, I'm going to be spending all this money on this guitar. I haven't played it at all. I really don't know how I'm going to like it or not. Never touched an SG. It seemed risky, but I mean, I'd love me some fucking Sabbath. And I know when I got that Adam Jones Les Paul initially, it didn't feel right. And I had been using different gauge strings on my other Les Paul when I was, you know, rocking out some fucking Tool. And having the strings that they sent out on it just didn't feel right. And I was just different. I just didn't have, the neck just felt strange. Like, it feels amazing now playing that guitar. I fucking love that guitar. I don't regret buying that. I still try to play it at least once a day. I know that, you know, as I've gotten more into playing different guitars, I know that some guitars just don't feel right. I was a little concerned how this one was gonna feel. But I definitely just did not know how it would be. But that being said, I was excited when I got home and I put the guitar inside. I didn't open it right away. I was a little nervous because it had been so hot. Last few guitars I'd gotten, there was at least put a note, or at least Sweetwater did on the last one. And they had they didn't have it on this one, strangely. Maybe they quit putting that on there because people probably ignore it. either way, it often when you get or at least in the past when you'd order from Sweetwater, it had a note on there saying that do not open for 24 hours. Give it time to adjust to your climate. So this will help with the neck and what have you. I knew I wasn't going to do that. But I had other things I was going to do that day. I was going to run. So I went out and I ran. And then after running, I took a shower and all that good stuff. And then I proceeded to, after getting the shower, I went out to get to the music store here in town, River City Music, because I was like, you know what, I need another guitar stand. another decent one. I don't want to put a Gibson on a shitty guitar stand. Because I had been keeping two guitar stands in my bedroom, and then I got a guitar rack in the other room that I hold most of my guitars on. But the bedroom one, the bedroom stands are for the ones that I play my everydays. So I'd been using the Epiphone Sheridan on the one and the Adam Jones. And because I don't always play those amped up. I, you know, keep them nearby and just to any moment I feel like playing. And then the one I have the Sheraton on, which I wanted to keep, go ahead and keep that one still nearby. It's a shitty guitar stand that I've had for like 20 years. And there's like no padding on it left whatsoever. Not a big deal when you've got a polyurethane finish. Those things can take a fucking beating. But when you're using a Gibson with a nitrocellulose lacquer, it can really damage the guitar if you're putting it on a shitty stand. So I ended up going to the River City and picked up one of their new guitar stands. And they just so happened to have Black Sabbath's second album, Paranoid, on vinyl. So I picked that bad boy up. And of course I had to. I had to have something to play while I unboxed this new Gibson. And so I got that. And I was pretty stoked to find that, because that was really the album I wanted to find. I mean, it's got fucking War Pigs, Iron Man, Electric Funeral, Paranoid. It's got some bangers on there. And so yeah, I picked that one up, which was happened to be the only Sabbath album they had that day. I almost got, they had Masters of Reality when I was buying records one day. I almost got that. But it was only $20, too, for this Paranoid record. That was a good deal. Brand new record. So I got that. And then I proceeded, after eating, I proceeded to open the said Gibson. And it was, as I was opening it, it hit Iron Man was on. And, of course, Agent Fox Mulder was super excited. I mean, anytime I bring in a box of anything, he's like, it's a fucking new box. It's a fucking new box. So, I mean, he was, as soon as I started opening that thing up, he's like, what's going on, man? What's in here? Let me see this box. Super excited. He might have been more excited than me. And I had been loving Black Sabbath stuff, that early Sabbath, for decades. And yet somehow this cat is way more excited than me because there's a new box. Oh, how great it is to be excited about the simple things in life, you know? Anyway, I got it open. I actually videotaped opening the case up for the first time, and I've watched the video of me opening the case many times, and you can hear Iron Man in the back. It was, I don't know, it's like almost like new baiting material for me, like, oh yeah, let's get that first impression. Though the fears quickly went away of, am I gonna like this guitar or not, like in person. Like, I've definitely gone to guitar shops and tried some stuff. I'm like, ooh, yeah, that's not great. But again, I had never, like, held this in my hand before. An SG, whether it be Epiphone or Gibson. Although I might have, like, 20-something years ago gone and attempted to, you know, touched an SG. It was probably an Epiphone if I did, but it would have been, like, a guitar store. I don't think so, but it's possible. And anyway, the finish on it, I mean, that's like one of the first things I noticed. The finish, that Pictures don't do it justice on the finish. I was, I do enjoy that finish as the cherry lacquer or stain, the cherry stain that's on there really makes that wood grain pop. It's pretty fantastic. And looking at the actual guitar that I've got in the room right next to me right now, comparing it, I've got a picture of it on the Gibson website, and it is just not do it justice, these pictures. The in-person thing, it looks so much better. I did put Gibson made a replica of the monkey sticker that he had on his original SG, that is, you know, Tony's original SG. So I had to put the monkey sticker on there. So I got the monkey on there. It's a cool little sticker of a monkey playing, I guess that's a fiddle he's got there. And from like the 60s or 70s, whenever that was made. They got together in like 68, and I'm not sure when he got that guitar exactly. But there's, I guess, that, and also I don't know when he put the sticker on there. That's another thing. I'm not all that sure. I'm just like looking at it like, oh, I want to go touch it and play it. But once I got it out and got it all tuned up, because it was, of course, a whole lot of tune. I mean, it's been Sweetwater, they do a setup on the guitar, I do believe. They do a 55-point inspection. I don't know that they do quite a setup. You can get it paid to have them pleck it. But I see no point in doing that with a Gibson, because they're supposed to do that at the Gibson factory. They're supposed to put it in a pleck machine, level the frets, all that stuff. So, and it's like $300 to get that done through Sweetwater. So I declined to do that. But I was a little concerned, because like that Adam Jones, I did end up getting a setup done on that, like pretty much immediately. Cause it felt weird. Maybe they just did a weird setup on it. I don't know. I got that one through Musician's Friend too. Where they don't do any kind of inspection. They just send it to you factory sealed. So that might have something to do with the issues. But once I had a professional setup done on it, it was fantastic. Which there's a good chance I'm going to end up taking this bad boy in for a setup too. But I got to say, playing it, I don't think it really needs a setup. It feels pretty fucking great. Pretty fucking great. And I definitely, plugging that bad boy in, I definitely felt like as soon as I turned on the gain, it was like, oh shit, yeah, that is Black Sabbath. that is that tone. That is that early Sabbath tone that I love so dearly, as those P90s that are on that thing. Those chromed out P90s. Just have quite the growl. It is fantastic. And I gotta say, man, I love playing that thing. It is a big wide neck. I love a big wide neck. Big fat neck. Gotta love that fatty. Fatty neck. Girthy neck. it's like wide. I don't know if it's it's not like, I guess, fat per se. It's just wide. Man, it's just playing that neck. I think that's the best neck I've ever played on a guitar. I mean, the Adam Jones one is like kind of a wide neck, but like, as opposed to the other guitars I own, I've got some awfully thin necks, like those. First Mexican Strat I have is very thin neck. And it's not great. I played on that thing for decades. Like, man, looking back, like, ugh. If I could go to a guitar store with that motherfucker when he's going to buy that shit, I'd be like, don't be a dipshit. Don't buy that. Although, you know, I mean, I really enjoyed playing that guitar for a long time. Can get some decent tones out of it, but anyway, this thing, playing this Gibson, like, it's like, I mean, I might like that one better than the Adam Jones. It's hard to say, but now it's like, you know, I'm in the honeymoon phase at this point. I just got it. It's brand new. It's hard for me to really say that. And it's like picking the best of your children. I don't have any children. This is kind of, I guess my cat's probably more closer to a child. I do actually, like, you know, take care of him. So anyway, it's a hard decision whether or not which one I prefer there. I mean, it wasn't a hard decision whether or not I like the Adam Jones over any of my other guitars. That was kind of a no-brainer. These two Gibsons, it's hard to decide which one is better. I guess I don't really have to decide that unless shit starts going really bad for me and I have to start selling shit off to pay off some debt or health bill, you know, doctor bills, what have you. If I find out, at the beginning of Breaking Bad that I have cancer or something and, you know, I have to start making big life changes to accommodate some kind of sickness or what have you, then that'll be a thing. But, I'm loving playing this guitar. I won't be getting rid of it anytime soon, at least. Like, something's going to have to go bad for me to get rid of one of those. I mean, there's possibility of getting rid of some other guitars. I've got 8 of them now, which seems overkill. I don't feel like I need 8 guitars. It's hard to play. It was hard to play 7 of them. I didn't get around to playing them all the time, so it's like it seems unnecessary to have so many. I mean, it is great to have guitars in different tunings and just different style of guitars because certain things are just played better. Just having these P90s, I mean, none of my other guitars have P90s. They don't have that P90 growl. And having that ability, just oof. I'll probably keep this one in standard tuning, but a lot of Sabbath songs are in, was it C sharp, which is dropped down. I do have my old Mexican Strat tuned down to that, so occasionally I can play some Sabbath on that. It's not quite the same, though, playing that on a Strat as opposed to pulling out the SG, and I'm not going to buy a second Gibson SG just for different tunings. Although, that guitar is pretty sweet. I really don't know if I'm going to take that in for a setup. I mean, eventually I probably will, but I mean, it really doesn't feel necessary on that. I mean, it is right out of the box. And I definitely, that last guitar I got from Sweetwater, the Epiphone Riviera, I got that a setup done on that one. I got the strings changed out on it. Wasn't crazy about the feeling. Once I had the setup on it, it felt a lot better to play. I'm not real hard set on that guitar, though. Eventually, I do believe I will trade that in for the DG-335, the Dave Grohl 335. But yeah, that is basically what I've been, other than eating till I basically made myself sick last night. That's what I've been doing since Thursday, is learning some Sabbath. I played some other things on the guitar, but I've been trying to, you know, I've been mainly playing Sabbath on there. Of course, I had to do a little bit of the Back in Black. I pulled up the tab on that to play that, which I'm not a big AC/DC guy. I like some of the stuff, and I respect, you know, Angus Young and all, but I prefer the Bon Scott era. You can't deny a lot of the songs AC/DC's done. Some good shit. But anyway. And it definitely playing that on the SG, it just felt right. Man, that neck is just so good for like playing like lead work on. Doing like solo, like trying to learn Iommi solos. It just feels right. Feels so right. It's weird having a guitar where the body is lighter than the neck. The neck is heavier because the there's not much of a body there. SGs are, which I knew that. I knew that was the case with SGs, which is a big can be a big problem because you can end up with what they call neck dive, like when you're standing up and playing it with a strap. The neck will just dive on you because it's just the weight is not centered on there and can cause you some issues. So I knew that that might be a problem, but it has not seemed to be an issue, although I don't play standing up with it much. When I did a little bit, it did not seem to be a problem. As that is a common gripe that people have with SGs. But man, that neck, that thing is fantastic. Other than that, though, I'm just talking pretty much this whole time about SGs. Another thing I was pretty excited about this week is The Boys Season 4 was put out. I think also Thursday. I want to say it was also Thursday, the day I got the guitar. And so I didn't have a whole lot of time Thursday night to watch it, but I did get through. I'm into like the second episode now. I was watching more of it earlier, but I did start it Thursday night when I was going to sleep. I love The Boys. I love The Boys. I can't believe it took, you know, so long for me to finally watch it. It wasn't until like last year, I guess, that I finally started watching The Boys. But it was mainly because I just didn't have fucking Amazon Prime. I had it briefly before moving into here, but it wasn't like a real long period of time. And I was just watching so many other things that I'd heard it was good, and then just hadn't watched it. Now I'm like, fucking The Boys, baby. Will Ferrell makes an appearance. I did see that he's got a cameo in this season, and there is a. I don't want to spoil the show, but there's definitely a scene. I believe it's in the first episode where. Homelander basically pulls a P. Diddy, as you can probably guess where that might be going, but I'm sure that that's what the writers had in mind when they were hearing about P. Diddy, like doing, forcing things. Although I guess maybe they probably wrote and filmed this a while back. It might have been before the Diddy stuff started coming out. Though, I mean, it did seem... awfully I feel like it felt like Diddy. It felt like Diddy, which I just thought was funny. Although Homelander didn't go full Diddy on it. Kind of backed off. Which is not like Homelander. He's an all the way kind of guy. I was a little confused with 'cause it'd been a while since I watched The Boys. But I was like, I'm pretty sure Black Noir died in season 3. I'm like, I'm pretty sure. Thought like Homelander killed him. like Black Noir's in... I feel like I might be spoiling this a little bit, but Black Noir is in like season 4-ish. Like they've got him in there. And at first it's like he's just there. And then as it turns out, I mean, it's... somebody pretending to be Black Noir. Spoiler alert. I did spoil that. But that threw me off a little bit. I was like, what the fuck? But that way, I guess they don't want, you know, people knowing that Homelander killed Black Noir, you know? But yeah, I think, man, the deep, that's the whole stuff, like the deep stuff, that shit's pretty great, where he's got like the first season he had the lobster that like he fell in love with, like they were, he went and bought it from the grocery store because of course he can talk to sea creatures very much like Aquaman and stuff, and like he was like wasn't he like fucking the dolphin at one point? The dolphin died on him when he was trying to get it to driving off with it in the van. Anyway, now he's still got the octopus. The deep stuff's funny. That's some funny stuff. That's good man on sea creature action. And him and his gills. That is, and you get more of the deep, man. You get more of the deep, and he's got some good biceps. That guy, that fella, he's got some guns. You can see the deltoids, the triceps, and the biceps. All that, he's got that suit that, you know, which I know people have given him shit over because in interviews and everything, because you're like, what, you know, your suit, you're kind of fucked there because it shows your muscles. There's no hiding that. If you have, like, the Homelander suit, you know, they can just put some padding in there, make it look like you got some muscles. But no, you're showing it all. You're showing it all, so you got to keep those guns solid. Got to pump those babies. Get them a good pumping. Pump them up. I'm going to pump you up like Hans and Franz up in this bitch. Anyway. I'm only on like episode 2. It's kind of a shame to hear that the fifth season will be the final one. I imagine we'll probably get it sometime next year. Unless some kind of, you know, pandemic situation goes on, or I don't think there's going to be any kind of strike, cuz we had the one so recently. I think they, you know, got several years before they're going to be a new collective bargaining agreement and what have you. Anyway, so I would imagine it would probably come out sometime next year, around this time, maybe later. I don't know how long Gen V is going to go around. I know the one actor had died in a motorcycle accident. They're not going to replace him, so I'm not sure what that is going to entail. I want to say that, let's see here, that there was other spinoffs going to potentially happen. Yeah, here we go. This is they're talking about another spinoff with Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Of course. I mean, who doesn't love Jeffrey Dean Morgan? Fucking Negan. Which he's in the first episode. I just saw him a little bit in the first episode. Which I feel like I read in this article. I'm going to spoil the stuff for me. But apparently, I guess there could be a potential spinoff with Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Which would be good. I mean, I love me some Jeffrey Dean Morgan. That there's potential for other spinoffs. I mean, there's definitely several strong characters in that show. I mean, that is definitely an ensemble show. I just have like fucking Homelander drinking breast milk stuck in my head, and that's just a lovely picture. Anyway, yeah, I'm excited to watch more of that. That's good stuff. Good stuff. And I don't think I'm going to be buying any other guitars anytime soon. I was with the Dave Grohl one. I'm still kind of waiting for it to like appear at like Guitar Center, or hell, if River City got it. I mean, it's potential that River City could get it as well. They do deal in Epiphones. They don't have, I wouldn't mind buying guitars from there. I like to support local shops and all. But they don't have Gibson there. And also, I would have to use like a regular credit card to buy that. And I'd have to pay a fuck ton of interest. The whole reason I was able to get the other Gibsons was doing the promotional deals with the credit cards for first getting a credit card through those sites and not paying the interest. And so I don't think, maybe I'm wrong here, but I don't think they have their own credit cards over there. I mean, there might be some kind of option. I don't know. They might have some kind of option for the more pricey stuff. I bought a lot of record stuff through there. I bought a record player, a speaker, and I mean, I buy guitar strings a lot of times from there. And it's mainly smaller stuff, but I do pay for setups there. And if they do get that Epiphone DJ-335, man, I will probably take that Epiphone Sheridan over there. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Like, you're gone, buddy. You're gone. That DG-335. Yeah. It will replace you, buddy. It will replace you. Making threats to a guitar. Anyway. Unfortunately, though, I would have to pay a little bit of money on top of just trading that guitar in. Because that guitar sells for, I think I bought it initially at $900. And the Dave Grohl guitar is like $1,300, so I mean, they're not going to give me $900 for that guitar unless they just, you know, give me a good deal for just trading it in. I don't know. But I would imagine I'd be lucky to get like $700 or so. I mean, there's nothing really wrong with that guitar. But, yeah, I would imagine I'd have to still cover several hundred dollars. wondering if it has gone up in price. It may have gone up, like, it's still $900. I figured it wouldn't have gone up in price. Kind of hoping it would have. So it would be, you know, better for a trade-in. Unfortunately, though, it has not gone up in price. That being said, yeah, it's probably going out the door soon as a local shop, that being local is in River City or if Guitar Center. I feel like Guitar Center is more likely to get it in stock. But eventually that DG-335, there's still low stock of it in places. Like, I can get it online from time to time. But, you know, it'll eventually be well-stocked. It is, it's just such a popular guitar. So many people want it. They're going to make a fuck ton of money off it, and they're building a bunch of them. Just gotta wait for that inventory to build up a little bit, and then I'll be able to hopefully trade that in. That being said, yeah, gonna try to stop buying instruments for a while. Though, I mean, I am working a lot of overtime right now, and that means being able to you know, pay off debt and what have you. It would be great to have that DG-335. Man, I still got a headache from eating all that damn food. Like, I destroyed my body. I've eaten very little today because, like, I just, like, my stomach was so full. And I just can't get rid of the fucking headache now. I can't believe I played guitar earlier with the headphones on. But that being said, I'm going to probably, you know, stop this and play the guitar at least for a little bit. After I clean the shit box. Clean Agent Mulder's shit box. And give him some brushing. Get rid of that that fur. He did. I got him. Watch out. I mean, he puked up a hairball the other day. I haven't seen him do that in quite some time. I didn't see him puke it, but like I found the aftermath. And it looked like it was just a hairball. I could tell it was puke, and then I got up to it, and I was like, oh, that looks like it was a hairball. But, you know, I mean, it is pretty hot, so he's got to be shedding a good amount. Got to make sure I get that excess stuff. I don't want him puking on stuff. But he's pretty good about just puking downstairs. I have not found any puke in the carpet upstairs. There's only carpet in the upstairs bedrooms. And thankfully, I have not found it in there. He seems to be good puking on the tile. So rock on that, buddy. Rock on, puke all you want on that. I mean, preferably don't puke at all. I don't want him to puke, but if you're going to do it on the tile. Well, it's not really tile per se, but, you know, laminate flooring, whatever you want to call it. It can handle puke a lot better than carpet. It's a lot easier to clean up, at least. I mean, it may do something to it. It may have some weird effect. Anyway, I guess I'm about good here, as I'm definitely not eating more tonight. And probably call it an early night, because I am still not feeling real great. It is not great. So I guess, as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can. Yeah.